Hey everyone, welcome to your favorite podcast, Men Growing Beards, where we watch men grow beards.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be on this episode for a while, because it takes me a long time, and we're starting like 2 days for me. Enjoy!
But today we have some special content that's not normally on Men Growing Beards, where we're going to talk about just whatnot.
So we are going to do whiskey, and we have some web components in your malarkey whatnot. So,
well, that's anyway, true. This, why don't you just this do is the a segment, intro? This is a segment we're going to call Monthly Malarkey, because I have this feeling that people just don't give a shit about tech sometimes. And it's just going to be us talking about what's going on in our lives and the world and whatever, and having some whiskey.
Well, we just lost our one listener. Good idea, Robbie.
We'll see. Okay, well, while we're still at the beginning, if people want to drop off because there's no tech, let us know that, and we'll never do this again. And that will be just fine.
And that'll be that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so this is Whiskey Web and whatnot, but you're only getting a few parts of that. Sorry.
Yes. And I thought, since we're just going to be shooting the shit, we would have the Derringer whiskey today with this ridiculous gun cork thing.
So it comes in a special collector's box, because those are a thing, and gives you a second cork. Yeah, because the main cork, it's like actually a nicely shaped, like crystal-like bottle, and it has this like normal corky thing on there. I don't know. I think like you're probably paying for the bottle itself.
This is like $100 bucks or so. I'm upset that this little gun thing won't let you like cock it and pull the trigger. That would be
fun. It's a cork, and it's just, All right, so let's at least make that continually official. So this is the H. Derringer Bourbon Whiskey. It is 92 proof. It's not age stated, but it has to be a 4-year minimum. I did read somewhere on the internet that it used to be 6-year age stated, but it does come out of Indiana, so it's NGP sourced. The mash bill is 75% corn, 21% rye, with a remaining 4% for your barley malt. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if it's just kitschy or if it's actually not bullshit.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to put my gun back in the top here. The gun has like what looks like a real cork, and the other one is like plastic.
Yeah. So exactly. The gun does have a real cork. I can tell you because exactly. I'm glad this is a video episode and that we do video from now on. But the thing is that when I was playing with the gun cork, because I played ahead of time, it broke off. It was like kind of dry and broke off. So I was like, the whole thing is garbage. The hell with this. But hopefully I am pleasantly surprised with the whiskey.
Well, it is from, it has a sticker on it that says Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible 2022. So,
And it scored an 88, according to Jim. I don't know,
is
Jim.
Is that good? I don't know.
I would think, I don't know. It's like the wine scores too. Yeah. It doesn't.
Ooh, I smelled it. And I'm thinking 88 is not good.
Yeah.
Oof.
On a scale of what? To like 380? I don't know.
Yeah, not musty, since the last time we rated one a 2 have I smelled this smell.
Well, luckily you overpaid for some kitschy.
Is this even like real? Like, all right, I'm scared to try it, but I'm going to do it.
Okay.
But let me give you some scent notes first.
Yeah, scent notes. I get musty.
It smells like, yeah, musty, like a big pile of moss. Like
exactly. Mildewy moss.
Yeah. Like if you're digging in the dirt and the moss outside, like that smell. The taste is better, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Better than the smell.
It's more palatable, but it's not fantastic, though. Actually, I think it's kind of weak tasting.
Yeah.
Given, like, you get a little bit of that. I would have expected a lot more sweetness and maybe a tinge of that. Like if you took some mossy grass and mixed a sprinkle of sugar on it.
It's like all the bad flavors of scotch and bourbon into one thing, but like tiny amounts of it.
Right.
So it's not like the worst scotch ever where I'm like, oh my God, I can't drink it. But it's like, it has those notes that make me not love it.
That's fair.
So, I mean, it's growing on me a little bit. I don't think it's as bad as the one that was a 2, but if anyone happens to be listening to just this episode, we'll tell you the scale. It's 0 to 8 tentacles. It's very scientific. And I'm going to give this one a 3.5. I think it needs to be less than a 4.
But it definitely needs to be less than a 4. And here's the thing is I know it's over a $100 bottle. And at that price, to be like so underwhelmed, like literally, well, again, I think I discussed it in a recent episode. It's sort of like I know I can go spend $25 to $30 and get myself a Maker's Mark or a Buffalo Trace and be like, this is fine. People will sip it. Most people will like it. It's not going to blow your socks off, but it's not going to disappoint you. And it's very approachable financially, right? Because you're drinking this stuff. This isn't a trophy. This is a weird whiskey trophy that they threw, like, to increase their margins. They threw whatever was on sale at MGP. They were like, yes, what's that mash? But let's put it in here. That's what I feel like. And so
I think I'm the almost only thing they put thought in to was the, like, the gun itself. Because it's pretty heavy. It's pretty intricate. The cork part of the gun is obviously less quality, but like the gun itself is nice. And then
I'm giving it a whiskey.
All right.
I'm going to. I'm so underwhelmed. The smell is bad. Maybe it'll open up. I do have some water here. I can add a couple of drops and I'll give it a chance in those ways. But I don't like the aroma. I'm underwhelmed in the flavor. It does nothing to me for the finish for the most part. It almost has like remnants of the metallic bits of a flat soda. Mm-hmm. You know, like maybe if you have a soda that you left overnight and then you're just like, you wake up in the morning and you're just like, I don't know, I'm just thirsty. And you take a little sip and you immediately regret it. And then there's this metallic, like aluminum flavor that just kind of lingers.
It does have that. Yeah.
And that is how I feel about it. And so the bottle looks cool, I guess. I'm almost talking myself down even further. Every time I think about it a little more, I'm like, why does it deserve a 2? You know? Like, okay, it's not like...
Yeah,
I've had worse things. Like, it doesn't come out of a plastic bottle, so it's not a 0. I'll probably finish this, and then I'll take the bottle and make some cocktails out of it to cover it up and not waste it, and or just give it away. And...
Oh, mine will be gifted,
for sure. Right. So I'm at a 1 or a 2. I'm really talking myself around this one. I don't know. I'll just give them a 2. I'll stick with the 2. That's the best you can do.
Yeah. I might come down because now that you mention it, we didn't have 0 before as a number. Everything was at least a 1. So if our scale has shifted since our last 2, then maybe this is a 2.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's not the greatest, and I would not recommend buying it.
No, I wouldn't waste your money unless you want that bottle this much. And
yeah.
If you do, hit me up. I might still have it, and I'll send it to you.
Yeah, we'll give you a deal.
Yeah. Pay for shipping. Get it out of my face.
All right. So we just have a list of random shit, and we don't have to do all of it, but I'm just going to start with, for anyone who hasn't noticed, if you've been watching the videos, you've probably seen I moved around to different spots. The cameras were worse before and then have been getting better. My backgrounds have been getting better, etc. That's because I'm all settling into my house. We've gotten moved in, not with my parents anymore, which is great. Love them and everything. Just don't want to live with them all the time.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great news.
Yes. Yes, Caitlin is very happy. We're now not like an hour from everything. We can like drive to Target in 15 minutes, which is awesome.
Has she heard of the internet where you can just buy shit and they deliver it to you wherever you live?
Well, this is a constant debate because... We'll go to Target and we'll be looking for a thing and I'll be getting frustrated because it's like 10 minutes have gone by and we haven't found the thing or whatever. And I'm like, why didn't you press buy now on Amazon? She's like, well, I like to go to the store and see the thing. I'm like, no, just press buy now. Like it never disappoints you because it will show up right to your house and it'll be the thing you were looking for.
Exactly. Like, and you know, it's in stock and all these things. Right. And also the side effect is if you go to the store, you inevitably like, walk past like a clearance rack or something, or you walk past something not on clearance and you're like, oh, I didn't know I needed this. I need this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I need this blanket or whatever it is. And I used to like look at the clearance areas too and just be like, is there any like, I don't know, nice deal here or something? Yeah. What I'd say like, and I got in that habit for a bit because one time I was there and ended up getting like this actually pretty decent battery powered Black & Decker drill that I've had for like 20 plus years. And I think I got it like in clearance. I don't know why. It was like $15 or something. And it's just forever. I mean, it's been this forever drill. And for a while, I was like, look at this amazing deal that I got. And what if I found another one of those? Mm. Probably never did again. And wasted money on so much garbage. So I was just like, I like shopping online because, you know, I'm sure they want me to buy extra crap, but I just buy what I need.
Yeah. It's harder to discover impulse buys online.
Exactly. For sure. Yeah. Yes. So anyway, so yeah, the internet is a good thing and e-commerce has come a long way. You know, they really will just like mail you things and quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that I don't know what it's rolled out on yet, but like Amazon has like buy with Amazon Prime like at different places now. So you can just like at like a third party vendor, you can hit like buy with Prime and get the same like 2 day or less shipping and like it's all free and whatever. Like if they can take over all of that, that'll be amazing. Cause I would love for everything to be 2 day shipping.
I mean, they are really upping the logistics game. And I wonder how much that hurts. Like, well, we know it hurts USPS, right? Because USPS was trying to pivot to do more package shipping and obviously being leveraged by companies like Amazon to handle those increases. And then Amazon's like, I got one more for you. We're going to do AWS, but for delivering shit. and here they are. You know, there's the Rivian Amazon vans all over my neighborhood. And
I haven't seen one of the new ones yet.
Ooh, yeah, we've got a lot, actually. There's quite a bit. I don't know if they have some sort of like solar charging setup in Arizona that makes it more appealing, but I've seen a lot. I was pretty surprised. Basically, as soon as I started seeing, or maybe even just before, started seeing Rivian SUVs, so I was seeing that truck.
So this does bring up an interesting point of, you know, no one will make a big, I guess, okay, not no one. We're making a little progress. So there's like a F-150 that's electric, whatever. Mm-hmm. But people don't like making big electric vehicles. And the Amazon vans are way bigger than like the SUV Rivian. Why can't we just make a full size? I guess the Rivian is maybe full size. It's hard to say. It looks big in the pictures, but when I see it in real life, it looks a little smaller. So I'm not sure if it's full size or not.
It's definitely full size. So unless full size, you mean a Tahoe, and which is essentially an RV.
No.
So
I mean like the full size Range Rover size, not the Sport.
I'd say it's pretty similar. I'd say it's pretty similar, and it has more interior room. I don't know what Range Rover does with all that space, but you know, when they basically give you a four seater and a full size SUV, I'm like, how are you doing this wrong? Or does everybody? I know British people are not 7 foot tall naturally, so like.
Yeah, it's for, like, I don't know what everyone else buys them for, because people drive them themselves, but its main market is for, like, chauffeuring people around. Like, you get the long wheelbase, and it have the huge back seat room, and you can just, like, recline. And
it's like a elevated town car market, right? Like, it used to be the black town car picks you up, or the Cadillac, or whatever, and it's like that, but SUVs are in favor, so we've shifted this thing that used to be designed for off-roading. And we made it luxury.
Yeah. It's like, can't afford a Maybach? Buy this.
Yeah. Yeah. Next level, quote unquote, down. Right. So anyway, I can tell you, we have a Q7, and it's bigger than a Q7. And the Q7 has third row seating. So.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. I'm just really kind of waiting to have more SUV options because we love our Model X, but it's not an SUV. And, like, if you want to haul anything, like, you need to go to Home Depot and buy a board or a whatever. Yeah. It's not going to fit in there. No. So
it's a minivan with cool doors.
Yeah. A smaller than a minivan, because a minivan can actually haul stuff, too. But I refuse to ever get a minivan.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm never getting a minivan. I don't care about the practicality aspect. If I was in a position where I need van, like, it's definitely going to be a van. I'm either going to get, like, some 70s retro van and then mod it up, or one of those like cool Sprinter vans where you can kind of have Mercedes Sprinter or something. Yeah. Like that's, which obviously the entry into that market is different. So which is probably why I'll just refuse it for life. But if I had to, I'd go one of those two directions. Like there's no way I'm getting some Honda minivan, and I hear they're great and good for you that it makes you happy. I don't care. I mean, I don't care.
I used to drive a Honda Odyssey.
Right. I don't care what other people buy. It doesn't affect me or offend me. If you ask me what I want to drive, it ain't that.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, that's just, don't you just need to convert the resto mod to electric? Then you're set.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the problem, though, is that would probably cost as much as buying the whole
thing. Right, again. Yeah. You like, start from the beginning.
Yeah, and I saw that, what is that company called that makes the platforms we were looking at?
I don't know. I don't remember what I did. Well, whatever.
They sent an email out and they were like, you know, we are ramping up production on these. They're like really trying to be the thing, not just classic cars, but like if you have a, you know, older car that you for some reason want to keep and it's not really a classic, they like electrifying everything gas is their, like,
And I know that's their mission, which I think is super cool, actually. Like, that's that you can make a bigger dent into that by, you know, giving a platform for existing cars on the road to convert. Like, that's pretty cool.
But their platform, I think, is like, it's over $100,000, I feel like. So
the barrier to entry still exists.
Yeah. So I think it obviously as they sell more and more of them, I'm sure the price will go down, but
right
now it's not really a thing. And I think I'd rather wait and get that, 'cause it looks so much nicer than doing like the crate drop-in battery thing. Like,
There's still a big gap between, like, you kind of have to be very subject matter expert in engineering, automotive engineering to a degree, and electrical engineering to another degree, to do these DIY projects, right? Like, there's a lot of risk there too. So, the drop-in crates and stuff are like approachable because they're like $30,000 to $50,000, but there's still a lot of risk in that. So,
yeah.
I don't know. There's no easy answer, but I do like old cars that stay on the road for longer, so I think that's kind of cool.
Oh yeah, it's Zero Labs, by the way.
Zero. See, it was Z. I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. There was one I came across recently. It's called Kindred Motorworks, and they have a few different like resto mods and stuff, and they do some full electric ones, and they do super cool like '60s VW bus, completely all redone, so nice. Glass roof and all the cool windows and stuff, and then all electric, but it's like $200,000.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah. That is the problem. It's so specialized that, like, until people can do it easily at home, you're going to pay a premium, because even just like the kits that tell you how to do it, you know, quote unquote, still require tons of, like, I'm sure it doesn't work perfectly. Like, you have to know as the installer, in step 7, like, you got to cut this hole differently than they say, and like whatever.
Takes a little bit of like going through the process. I just don't know who, like, all these companies are starting, but like, who is buying? I mean, I guess
no one now cars, but like a year ago everyone had infinite money. There was no recession and inflation, because, and whatever.
They tapped their equity for cheap in the real estate. It's a dangerous game to buy cars, diminishing returns on that. Let me take my low-interest home equity and buy a car.
Well, if you're going to buy some kind of car, though, a classic car is a better investment than a newer car.
Because it's unique.
They will go away. Like, more of them get crushed every year, and then...
Yeah.
Theoretically, the value will always go up. Not like exponentially, like it maybe had for a while, but.
Yeah, the last few years, the rise in classic cars, like the price doubled on a lot.
Yeah.
It was just like.
Yeah. You want anything that says Porsche on it? $70,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I did feel that was weird. Like, not all of them, but there are many 911s that, like, the median entry level price is like $70,000. It, like, didn't matter if you wanted to get, a 2007 911 997, or if you wanted to get an 83 SC, it felt like they all cost $70,000.
Yeah, it was like, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of still like that, because the Porsche market is just, they're bulls.
Yeah. So I do want to regress back to something related to moving into our new house. Did I tell you the Stanley Steamer story?
The catastrophe? Catastrophe? No, cat, I was going to ask about cat ass. What about the cat ass?
So I'm intending to write a blog post about it because I feel like people need to know. But So this is what happened. We buy the house. We're moved in or moving in. So we're here like a few days before move in, getting things cleaned up and whatever. And we're like, it's probably a good idea to steam the carpets. So we're, you know, thinking, do we rent a rug doctor? Do we hire Stanley Steamer? You would think Stanley Steamer would do a better job than we would do with a rug doctor, but I don't know if that's true. So Stanley Steamer comes and like they steam okay, but as soon as they get here, they're like, you know, we're going to do the steaming, whatever. You know, they make sure all the rooms are accounted for, probably charge us a little more. So like, oh, you didn't count this hallway or whatever. So we're already paying a little more than I thought. And then they're like, do you want to add like this deodorizer and protectant, which are two different things, two different charges per room. It's like $50 per each of them per room.
Okay.
And so I'm like, well, no, fuck that. Like if you,
does it smell now? I mean,
well, yeah, I was like, if you are supposed to be good at steaming carpets, why do I need another thing to like make it smell better? Because like if you're good at cleaning, it should be clean. What are you talking about? And they're like, okay, fine, we won't charge you for that stuff, we'll just steam it. So they start steaming the basement and they're like, yeah, are you sure you don't want the deodorizer stuff? And I'm like, no, I told you no. Then they like go and ask Caitlin. They're like, hey, do you want this deodorant? And I was like, these fucking guys, like, stop trying to upsell us,
right?
Because I don't want the deodorizer. But then they finished the basement and they're like, hey, I know you say you don't want the deodorizer, I hear you, but go smell the basement. So I smelled the basement. There was like secret cat pee under the floor. Mm. And cat pee only gets more angry and smelly if you steam it. Like, right. You cannot get it out. So I think it was all in like the pad and then came to the surface when they steamed it. And so I was like, oh shit, this smells bad. Like, yes, give me the deodorizer, whatever it costs, put it down. So they do all that. I think it was like an extra $250 because it was
cheaper
like a
than
few
new
rooms.
Carpet if they guarantee that they get it out.
That's the problem though, is it still smelled awful when they left and like did not get any better a day later. So we went and bought all of our own aftermarket cleaners and the cleaners didn't help. We got like, the only thing that worked was like the little shake on granule things.
Oh,
so they like absorb the smell and like anything wet just makes it angrier. You need to keep it dry. And like, so doing that a few times and vacuuming got it like manageable, and it's just been slowly going away since then. But fuck Stanley Steamer, fuck their customer service for not having a way to like contact them and be like, look, I gave you an extra $250 and it smells like shit, I want that $250 back. There's no way to contact them. So if they had made it to where I could get my money back, I would be less angry, because like they did steam the carpets, but the deodorizer upcharge thing, no one ever paid for that, it doesn't work. And also, like, if you think there's any possibility of cat pee, don't steam at all. And, like, they should tell you that, too. Yeah. Like, if they steam a little and it starts to be evident there was cat pee, they should stop. Nope. Yeah.
But they're not going to stop because they want that money.
Yeah. So I was not happy with them. And that's my story.
I would think leaving with a very unsatisfactory result, I mean, where do you think that's going to go? Like, of course you're going to say, you know, thumbs down, I don't want this. And... yeah, like what is the tiny language? There's got to be some sort of contractual cover your ass there, where it's like, if you have cat urine, we have no promises of eliminating these smells and stains and blah 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 blah. I mean, cat urine is destructive. It is. I mean, it can result in just having to tear not only the carpet out but the baseboards and whatever, you know, you have for flooring. I don't know, you know, for that house structurally or whatever, how old that stuff would be, but like you could replace flooring and everything else on top of that because it just soaks down
and
whatever else. It sounds like in the basement it's probably where like previous owners just like, this is where we put the litter box, and it just
I think there was a litter box. I can't pinpoint where it smells the worst, so we could never, like, because everything online says like, oh, we'll get like really good cleaners and clean just that area where it is, but I'm like, well, I don't know where it is, it smells everywhere, so we couldn't do that. But yeah, I think they, like, the guy's mom was living in the basement, and she was pretty old and had a cat, so like probably wasn't keeping up with the litter box, so there's probably like peeing in the floor because they didn't want to get in all the poop or whatever. So
yeah, Well, we had rentals in DC, and some of them were old, so we had hardwood floors and stuff, and we had two cats, and we tortured them a couple of different times by, like, trying automated litter box things. We wanted to hide, you know, you're in smaller spaces, you're in an apartment in the city and all that, and so you're like, how can I hide this litter box? Well, okay, now we've hidden it, but it still kind of smells, so then how do we, like, mitigate that more? And yeah, we tried a couple of things that really freaked them out and resulted in them pissing and shitting everywhere. And poop is a little easier to clean up from things. Pee can actually, like, soak into things. So I had to get some pretty advanced. I remember, you know, it would be like May. Oh, we were at work, and it's probably like 4 hours on this hardwood floor, but it is, like, soaking in and looks like it could be staining a hardwood floor. So I had to, like, buy special chemicals and sprays to, like, get that out, soak it up and stuff. So I learned a little about how damaging their urine can be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's apparently, like, especially, like, it's the worst of the urines. Like, yep. I don't understand exactly why. There's, like, some kind of special bacteria in there that is, like, very destructive and smelly.
Part of their defense mechanism. And then the whole thing where they, like, spray, too, is kind of urine. And, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, ours were neutered, I guess it is, for males. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Spay and neutered. I don't know. Remember, kids, spay and neuter your pets. Remember what Bob Barker would do that at the end?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Drew Carey still does it, I guess, just out of respect.
I don't know. No Bob, no Price is Right for me, but, you know.
Ooh, I love Price is Right, man. I used to watch it, especially in college. They had this old, like, you know, the big screen TVs where they were, like, the size of a desk
because
they were
so deep. The projection thing in them. They were like a big case with, like, the RGB.
They were like their own furniture.
Yeah.
Like, they would, like,
yeah.
So it was like that. And it was just, I don't know why they never, like, replaced it, but, and they would always just put on, what is Price is Right on? CBS or something? They would have, like, CBS or whatever it's on just going. And so I would go and do a really early lunch at, like, 10 or 10:30 or something, and it would be on. So, have fond memories of that, and I don't know. I think it's fun to watch. I think it'd be fun to be on, but I would, like, just lose immediately. So it would be like, how much is this high-heeled shoe? And I would be like, $50. They're like, no, $3,000. Like,
yeah. That is actually an interesting. Well, I do like Price is Right, and I have no issues with the current show or anything. I just haven't watched it in a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I watched it as a kid or something. So I'm sure some as an adult, you know, vegging out.
I don't think during work. So it's harder to watch.
It turns out if I'm not going to work, I don't choose Price is Right. You know, that's just never my outlet, but I have no problem with it. And yeah, I think, like, the standard cost of goods, I actually was having a talk with Sarah about this, is, like, resetting our expectations when we think certain things are, like, what, that's $200 now? That's ridiculous. It should be like $50. And then you're like, well, maybe it's not, though, because we're getting older and inflation is happening and the cost of goods is rising. Whether we agree with it or not is something else altogether. But, like, I do feel like, okay, I worked a long time to build a career and increase salary and, you know, earning potential and all these things. And for a little while felt like, all right, I'm doing all right. And then, I don't know, the last couple of years, I feel like I've regressed quite a bit because the cost of things is outpacing the work that I put in over the last decade, even, you know?
Oh, yeah. So
it's like, geez, what does it take to have, what is middle class in America, right?
I don't know how people afford anything because, like, you know, you and I, on paper, make very high salaries compared to, you know, most of America. But, you know, the people that don't, how do they even buy groceries? Because, like, we can't go to the grocery store without spending, like, $250. And we'll buy, like, nothing. I'm like, what are you talking
about?
Your kid
isn't even really eating food. Like, you know, most of our money these days goes into, well, part of it is because they're little jerks. And, like, you just don't know. I mean, hot dogs pretty much always work. Mac and cheese pretty much always work. That, but, like, a lot of things, like corn dogs or chicken nuggets even sometimes. Like, lately, they don't like french fries. What?
That's, like, all family.
French fries. right. Like, it was, and that's annoying anyway because we've, you know, fried everything in this time. Oh, you like french fries? Great. Here's tater tots. And they were like, this is disgusting. I'm like, this is better. I don't know what's wrong with you. Yeah,
tater tots are better than fries for sure.
Yeah. I think, I mean, they're mini portable hash browns, right? Like,
Their texture is so much better.
Texture is great. Yeah. So anyway, and they don't like that. So I think we end up spending in excess, and I have this debate with Sarah sometimes, with like, why are we giving them 14 choices for breakfast? I don't give a shit. Can we just scale back? Because half the time they won't eat any of them. Let's give them two choices. And it's like, here's three choices. Cereal, eggs, or nothing. I don't care. Go in.
Yeah.
You know? And then you'll be hungry after a little bit. Yeah. Like, they're not going to die. They have food all around them all the time. They're not going to die.
We have the same debate of like, and it's harder like when, you know, Finn's at the age where he has decided he just doesn't,
putting on weight matters though, right?
Yeah, but like he's decided that he knows what he likes and what he doesn't like, even though he hasn't tried like any foods, so he won't try stuff. Yeah. And then like, so we always want to get him to try stuff, so we make something for him and then he doesn't eat it. And so it's the same thing of like, well, we should have just bought like a Costco bag of french fries and fed him just that, because
you'll get there, don't worry. Yeah. Papa, I mean, yeah, we especially my son, he ate everything for like the first 2 years of his life. And then one day he woke up and he's like, everything is garbage but hot dogs and sometimes pizza. And then I'm like, oh, I love pizza. Great. Oh, let's give him pizza. And then pizza. And then he's like, actually, I don't like pepperoni anymore. Like, it's just random stuff. It just happens.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, we used to be like, okay, we're not short order cooks and we cook for the family and these are the options. We will omit parts of those options for you. Like, definitely. But then at a certain point, how many meals do you want to spend in argument and tears, mm-hmm, and all that? Like, are you going to play the old school game of, you don't get out of that seat until you eat it, and you're going to have this asparagus and everybody wins tomorrow? It doesn't. They have the same fight. And then eventually you're just like, all right, I'll microwave some mac and cheese for you. Like, because that's just going to make this all more pleasant for all of us. And you are getting food. And I survived on way worse things than that. So, you know.
Yeah. Who knows? And I think probably until you're like going through puberty or later, it doesn't really matter. You just need to like have calories to exist. But
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of studies to the contrary of like how you can improve your situation. But what is like the micro percent difference between A, B, or C? Like, I sure that's debatable. Like, you know, they'll say, don't watch certain shows and, yeah, you know, screen time is bad for everybody, but that's a, you know, whole other problem. And I watched tons of TV as a kid. Clearly it's benefited society because I'm good at trivia. If you need someone on your trivia team who knows pop culture, call me up.
Well, it's different per person too. It's like, you know, if it really negatively affects your kid to do any one thing, you shouldn't do that. Like, some other kids could watch TV all day, but still then like be able to flip that switch and like, oh, I'll get all my homework done. I'll like get a job when I'm supposed to. And like, you know, it's hard to know exactly what every kid will do. So, you know, there's no advice that works for everyone.
So listener, if you're still here, I do have one production side note that I'm kind of curious about. And I've thought about this a whole bunch, so I think I should just ask the question and see if anybody answers me, which is, do you prefer that we look into the camera and are speaking to you, or do we look off looking cool and as if we're talking to each other, we're having a private conversation?
Well, that's like,
I kind of wonder about that.
Like film 101 is you never look into the camera.
Right. Don't break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
But then again, like, that has its own fun ups and downs. Anyway, feel free to provide feedback on Twitter. That's the only place because I'm nowhere else on the internet. But, or stop by Robbie's house and let him know. And he'll tell
him. Yeah. Yeah, you can. I live in Phoenix. I'll give you my address later.
Okay. You better give him this office address and not my home address. Otherwise, there are so many bags of dicks coming your way. I don't know if anybody's seen this, but I have done this a few times and I'm very proud of myself for it. There's a website called it's bagofdicks.com, and you literally can mail someone like gummy or chocolate penises in a bag. And I've done it. It's amazing.
Oh God.
We're not sponsored by them. I just think it's
that would be an amazing sponsor though. If we had
this episode is brought to you by bagofdicks.com. This if you happen to be actually shopping for dicks online to mail to people, this is an obvious solution. And they're tasty. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, don't have too many in one sitting, though.
There is a such thing as too much dick.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The gag that never stops. So yeah. I hope somebody made it this far.
Side note, which maybe shouldn't go right next to Bag of Dicks, but a sponsor that we actually do have, B-Flow Desks.
Not yet.
You haven't gotten yours yet, but
I'm not sponsored.
Just wanted to mention that will be coming. We'll give you more info and full reviews on. I love mine. It's like got like nice cable management and plugs, and it's a standing desk, and I don't know. It's good. We'll tell you more about it once Chuck gets his. But
yeah, I think cable management is a huge thing. I actually kind of deal with it a bit on my current setup and keep trying to evolve it, but you know, it's always like tolerable, not great. And that is vindicated. So I was listening to a recent episode of Syntax.fm, sponsored by Sentry, who doesn't sponsor us. But
you're on GitHub, does that count?
Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah, that's true. I forgot. High five. Thanks, David. And they having a comfortable office setup and cable management is like a big part of some of the things they're talking about, of like easy wins you can have in your own personal setup. It doesn't have to be a whole crazy thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think as programmers, automating anything or like having everything solved is like you want to have all of your cable management solved. And like this desk has the whole bottom has like a full width Velcro thing. And so you can like wrap stuff in Velcro and put it just so where you want it. And then it has like a bar where you can, there's little things, sticky things that you stick on whatever and then slide on the bar. So I have like my little Evo 4 stuck on there. And then like the cloud lifter and like all nice. A bunch of stuff is on there. So it's like, it's very clean, very nice. I have way too many cords. So it's like kind of at its capacity, but it's doing a good job.
I think I need some sort of hub or something. Like I have like a bunch of different dongles with like three or four different inputs into them. So I can turn this USB-C port into four normal USB-A ports, and but I need some more C's, so now I've got another one that also has some additional C's and all this kind of crap off of it. I think it's like half
and it gets problem. Complicated when like because you have to maintain the Thunderbolt chain to get to your screen or your monitor won't work.
So you got to keep that direct one-to-one. So
So I did get the only Thunderbolt 4 KVM switch that exists. I think it was like $300. Like it's expensive because they're the only one right
now.
I
need that. I didn't even know one existed. I just assumed they're not out there.
Well, they weren't until like when I moved into the house and was setting all this up, they didn't exist. And then like I just looked a few weeks later and they existed. So
is that like on Amazon or is that a special provider?
No, it's on Amazon. You'll have
to send a link.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
I need room for stuff like this, which is my family and Lego. You know, cool stuff like that.
I have the switch so that I can, like, I have my desktop, and then if I want to plug in my work laptop, I can switch it to that and use the same keyboard and stuff, so.
Ooh, that's hot.
Yeah.
I'm going to need that.
I've been wanting that forever, and, like, since I started working at Amazon, which was in January, we're in almost the end of October now, I have just laid on the couch to work because I'm lazy and, like, didn't have I was like, oh, I'll eventually, once we move and get settled in, I'll, like, set up all this plug-in stuff. And now I've got it, so no excuses. Yeah.
Well, I refuse to say that name because they don't pay or sponsor me in any way. Mm. And I'd just be pimping myself, yo.
Well, you can get a affiliate link for stuff.
Yeah, I saw that a long time ago. I don't know. I mean, I guess you have to have something to drive that traffic from for it to be useful. I remember way back in the day, Tim Ferriss would do that. And he was an early person, I think, that he either would say these are affiliate links or he'd offer both. Affiliate and non or something like that. I don't remember.
Most people say they are. I don't know if it's just to avoid backlash or if like you're supposed to mention, like maybe you're legally supposed to say it's a,
I don't know. I never implemented. I remember being
my website doesn't say, but they are affiliate links.
Yeah. They're all affiliate links. Yeah. So are you able to get affiliate revenue through clicks like that and work for them? Is there any conflict of interest there? Are you breaking rules?
Honestly, I'm not sure, but luckily I'm not a popular media personality because I haven't gotten any clicks. So.
Right.
So or maybe there were a few clicks, but I think you have to get a really high number. Like I mean, really high is relative, but for me, it's high. Like hundreds of clicks a month for them to not turn your account off. Right. So like, I think I'm just going to get mine turned off and then I'll reapply in like 6 months. Maybe I'll be more popular then after that conf, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah. We'll talk about that a smidge. I know it is borderline technology with which you wanted to avoid, but
well, we can touch on it.
Sponsored by that conference.
Yeah. Have you been to this conference? Well, you haven't been to that conference.
THAT, and it's not an acronym that I'm aware of. It's just yelling. Yeah. That conference.
Yeah, we are going to be doing, we're not really sure the full extent. We'll be doing at least one live episode on the main stage. Other than that, we may be emceeing some stuff and like doing other in a random room somewhere type of episodes, but we'll definitely be there. We're going to record as many episodes as we can. So, you know, check out the live one on the real stage as it's happening, and then check out the other ones wherever later, I guess.
Wherever you prefer to ingest your podcasts.
Yeah. Not which YouTube belly, is really pushing to be the number one thing now. Not for us, but for podcasting as an industry.
Yeah, I have heard more and more people are interested in like visual podcast. Like they can just put on a podcast playlist or whatever and take that in from YouTube, which is interesting because people were doing that for quite some time, creating like playlists for music videos, right? I was kind of,
yeah. I mean, whether you're watching the video or not, like they're making it basically so you could have playlists, like you said, you know, on YouTube. Now they've just basically got a little tag where you say your playlist is a podcast, but then starting next year, they're going to take those playlists marked podcast and make them an RSS feed. So it will be like you can ship it straight from there to all podcast hosts. And like you don't have to host elsewhere. You just upload your videos to YouTube. That's your hosting. And like it'll just get shipped everywhere. So they're making a big play to like, and I think a lot of people will do it because they're already publishing to YouTube. So they're like, well, why don't I just stop publishing elsewhere and I'll do this one step. So I think that
thought, I guess,
yeah, could be interesting. Meanwhile, Spotify won't let you publish video unless you use one of their platforms. So.
Right. So, well, you know, it's a different business model. I am kind of like hesitant to lean into one entity too hard, you know. So, like, Google just owns so much of my life. Amazon owns so much of my life.
Yeah,
maybe this isn't one part I want to give them, but I don't know. Maybe it's not that.
Who knows?
Serious,
I mean, we've been switching around a lot, and I don't mind continuing to switch. It makes sure that we've got everything set up to be, you know, agile and able to move to whatever at a moment's notice, and that's helpful. If
we'll leave your ass,
yeah. So, I do want to find out. No, you went to France. You told me a little bit about it, but I guess precursor to that, how did the workout diet challenge thing go?
Went awesome until I went to France. So
wait, but they have nothing but vegetables and no cheese or
not
fat
at all.
There.
That's not all. The butter is the best because it's full fat. They use 85% milk fat. That's like one of the big reasons why French. I mean, I had the sandwich once that was literally like a baguette, a smear of butter, and some ham, and it was fantastic. So simple, was so good. So I had a lot of rich foods. So I would say that wasn't necessarily great. I did do a lot of walking. Like I think on the average was somewhere around 10 to 15,000 steps a day easily. And then there were higher and lower days, but like the average was around there. So obviously that's kind of a good thing. Oh yeah, it was wonderful. Folks were really kind. We didn't really spend any time in Paris. It was mostly like get in and out of there. And then we went south to Lyon and Avignon. Avignon was really cool because there was like a few decades, there was like four successive popes that were primarily based in, they were French. They tried to kind of like, there was this like pull back and forth between, you know, Rome and you know, it would be like those provinces or whatever, those areas trying to pull back and forth between like who has the pope, Italy or France kind of thing in general. But obviously it wasn't like, Italy, the country, quite the same. But so there's a papal palace there and kind of like a second home. And then they ended up having like four successive popes there. And it's like a really cool, beautiful walled city next to this river and just like so clean and well preserved. We did like a cooking class there that was like a lot of fun. Saw some medieval towns, made our way down to Nice, and then like did like a day trip to Morocco and some towns in between and everything else. It was like really beautiful, really beautiful. People were friendly, very passionate about their regions too, and so that's kind of fun. And I didn't realize there was just that much agriculture everywhere. I mean, everywhere you go, they're growing something. And so, like, they're very self-sustainable as a country. Like, they have a ton of things in country that they make themselves. And that's their products of France. And so this import-export business that we do in the States, like, they don't do that. I mean, they obviously do it, but...
They export a lot of wine.
Yeah, of course. And they have a ton in country, too, so don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had some nice meals and stuff. We had one that was, like, probably the weirdest meal I've ever had in my life, though. Okay. And so it was in Avignon, and it was at this Michelin star restaurant, and it was one of those where it's a prefix menu. It's in this, you know, oh gosh, I mean, that restaurant probably is almost, or the building, not the restaurant, but the building itself is probably like at least 600 years old or so. And they do this multi-course prefix thing, and you basically choose meat or veggie, but it's not vegetarian or anything. It's just like not meat forward. And so they're like, we still do fish and some other things here. So yeah, we chose meat. Yeah, we felt like, okay, that'll be fun. And you don't have a menu though. And I don't know. I think we must have had like 12 courses or something. There was just so much
of all different meats.
Of just different stuff in general, like the amuse-bouche or whatever that comes out, and it, like your initial like palate stuff. So there was like this crispy trout thing in a ring with roe on top, and like that was different and interesting. And then there was this little thing of like ice cream with like this olive oil kind of thing on it, but it was oyster flavored ice cream. Other thing. And so, but, and we got a lot of, like, we had this like kind of taco-y thing that was really good, but it was made with a bunch of like French. I'm gonna have to like come back. There was parts of it that were like, oh, very good, but parts of it that were a little like weird and traumatizing to a degree, in that like there was one and they brought out again like it would be themed courses, and so you'd get like two or three things each course, and it would be like, this is more seafoody, this is more meat, this is almost like a little like street foody but fancy. And they brought out this thing that like had like a foam cream on it, and those little langostino tails, and then like something else go there, and we were like, oh, okay, good. And our like one of our servers came out, and she just like thought it was funny, and she was like, so what did you think of that? And we were like, oh yeah, seemed pretty good, and this and this. And then she's like, so the cream, sheep's brain cream, and then runs away. So we're like, oyster ice cream, sheep's brain cream, okay, I don't know what's going on. So there was weird. And then they bring us back for some like palate cleansing course, which was good. It was like a black currant kind of, you know, ice cream with like a little brandy drizzle on it, and you go back to the kitchen and you know, see what's going on, and like they like talk to you a little bit, and then I see this chart at the corner of my eye, and I was like, you know, what's going on over there? Oh man, okay, like this looks familiar. This is some of the stuff we definitely got. And I see on the list pigeon, and I'm like, I'm not gonna say anything. I'm just going to like, let's see what happens. So go back. And that next course is pigeon themed. And on the plate, it has like a pigeon leg that's been kind of charred and what, you know, like a tiny little leg, but the foot's still on it. And then there's a bread, and like, it's not like street pigeon. I guess it's like, you know, bred for this purpose in a certain region of France and a delicacy, but like maybe not in this form. There's like, it's kind of like a little sliver of breast. It's, you know, like a duck breast would be, like kind of oily, kind of like meaty. And there's that, but very like rare. And there's something else, because I forget, because the next thing is, it's almost like a little croquette, you know, like a little mashed potato fry ball thing.
Yep.
But apparently it has a pigeon heart in it.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, I don't know, I'm just going to go for it. So I just popped the whole thing, eat it. And I was like, I don't know, Sarah, I think this is a... I think this is just potato, or maybe it's stuffed or whatever else. It just tastes like potato. So just do that. And she just can't. She can't blindly trust. So she's peeling it back, and she peels back, and it's a big, like, after the crusty layer, you got a big pigeon heart there, which then yeah. maybe stuffed with more potato or something. I don't know. But she was like, and I'm out. I can't do that.
Yeah.
And they brought some dessert stuff that worked, but, you know.
I get very traumatized with that sort of situation. And I think on some level, like, they're just showing off. Like, the chefs that are really good are like, how can I get the most disgusting ingredients and make it taste amazing? Because that's right. Like, wow, you're a great chef, right? Yeah. And on some level, that's cool. Like, give me a thing that's a little weird, like, not as weird as a pigeon heart in a croquette, but yeah. like, you know, things that I normally wouldn't try and make it taste good to me. That's kind of cool. But like, don't make it like so visceral and like, I don't know. It's just a little strange. And
hiding it well was fine. You know, like the oyster yeah. ice cream. I just finished it, even though I thought it tasted weird.
Yeah, and that's the pressure too, is like you have such a tiny little plate of like a taste, so you have to finish it all or they can tell you didn't like it. So it's like, you know, I always feel yeah. the pressure of like, all right, it's only like 4 bites. I can do this. Like,
and also, you know? Like, this in a way is almost like a little bit of an imposter syndrome just for me as an individual, right? Because this is a fancy restaurant. You dress nice. You go in and you're paying them a bunch of money to mm-hmm. do this. And at the end of the day, if I don't like it, why can't I just be like, I don't care? But then I feel like, well, now I look like I don't get it, or I don't fit in or something. Yeah. I don't know. In the moment, I have some of these like imposter yeah. syndrome kind
oh,
of
yeah.
feelings. And so I just do the best I can. And I'm usually someone that says like, I pretty much will eat any, I mean, I've eaten inside parts before. I'm not like completely opposed to that, but some of it just tasted weird, and some of it just looked a little too close to home, too close to the real thing. I was just yeah. a little like, that's why I don't like bugs. That's why I don't want to eat bugs, because they just like roast them and then put a bug in front of you. They don't put a cow in front of me. Are you kidding yeah. me? Yeah.
Yeah. The texture and the presentation matter. Like, there are a lot of things where the flavor is probably fine, but yeah. like, if you can tell what it is still, it weirds you out. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Well, that said, I do love oysters, though, in general. I don't want them in my ice cream, but I do like oyster. Mm-hmm. I think it's because I see it. I know, okay, it's like you're going to have some whiskey. Okay. You know, you salivate a little bit. You know, a little burn and stuff is coming. Like, I'm not surprised by this. I'm not eating like a jelly bean and then all of a sudden getting whiskey flavor, you know, like burning yeah. my throat. Like, yeah. I know this is yeah. what's coming for me. Oh, here's an oyster. This is what's coming. I'm kind of prepared mentally. I go into it. Now I'm like thinking about those flavors. Great. I eat some ice cream and I got those flavors. I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, so that was France. France was great. Enjoyed all of it. Would recommend. Yeah. 10 out of 10. Would recommend. Nice okay. is incredible. Large city too. And it's pretty expensive the closer you get to the sea. Like, it's ridiculous that you're like, I would like a cocktail. It's $25. Well, I'll just have one of those.
Everywhere now, though. Yeah.
A lot of places. Bad. That's the thing. This is the yeah. inflation thing, too, that I'm thinking about. Like, what used yeah. to be like, well, this is a nice vacation cocktail. It's $16 now. It's, you know, whatever. If you go into town, though, you don't really get those same things. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah. So I do want to, we don't have a ton of time left, but I want to find out, do you have a family Halloween costume this year?
Of course we do. Because
what are you doing this time?
It's ridiculous. This one is Mario themed, and I okay. am going to be, I'm just thinking, now I forgot his name, the mushroom guy.
Oh, Toad?
Toad, yeah. I'm Toad. So Aiden is Mario. Charlotte is Peach. And Sarah is Luigi. That's nice. That's what the kids picked. So, and I get to be Toad. I was like, Toad, really? Thanks.
Yeah, and Toad's fine.
Yeah. Everybody likes
he Toad. He doesn't have as fun of, you know, just spouting off random Italian-esque phrases.
Right. Yeah.
But
New York City cool. Italian. Yeah. New Jersey yeah. Italian, really. Yeah, I was like, how about Bowser? How about Yoshi? Yoshi's a fun one. Like, can I be Yoshi? No.
Yoshi's my favorite, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to be any of those. Mm. Yeah, they voted. And then I'm like, Sarah, when can we be done with this family stuff so they can just do whatever they want? And she's like, I'm milking this as long as I can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We are doing Sesame Street, so I'm going to be Big Bird, and Finn is Elmo, and Caitlin is Abby.
Nice.
So
I don't know. Yeah. Who's Abby?
A newer one. She's like a fairy costume, kind of.
Hmm.
So
okay.
It doesn't really make sense. It doesn't scream Muppets or Sesame Street. So it's like, it'll make sense in context when she's like standing next to us. But yeah, otherwise, people would be like, are you a fairy?
Who are you?
What are you?
Like, yeah. I know that even Zoe was a newer character that I was like, you know, kids got some set or something. I was like, who is this? Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, even Elmo
introducing
was
new ones for like diversity, and like I know one of them is like a foster kid or something. Like,
gotcha.
Just to have more relevant, like, I don't know, woke.
Nobody loves
to talk
Grover
about
anymore. Mm. That's the problem, you know. That's the thing. Is Elmo came into play and he sort of stole the limelight from Grover.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because like Elmo wasn't an original, right?
No,
Then. Like, when exactly did he become popular? Was it the whole, like, when Tickle Me Elmo came out and, like, people
well, that,
had a big
I mean,
fuss over
super
that?
Super popular. So he was kind of like a baby monster, you know? That was, like, the thing. It was like he's, you know, you got Grover, and then Elmo came on. It's like, it's me, Elmo, you know? And I'm a baby, and I'm figuring things out. So he was not an original, and I don't know. I mean, I feel like he came into play, like, he was more like my brother's time frame, so it would have been like 7 to 10 years later. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm familiar. Ha, it's funny. And I think I used to do the voice some as a kid to be funny. But before we bounce off of that topic by any means, yeah, so I did a thing with my kids last night where we like had some TV time, but we were doing more like episodes or shorts. And it was like, let's all take a turn. And like, I picked the 90s X-Men cartoon first. And because I thought, yeah, the kids might be kind of into that. Aiden was asking me questions about Wolverine and stuff. It was like kind of cool. And I was like, great. Now, Aiden, it's your turn. Do you want to watch more of this or something else? And they both were like, something else. This was for you, Dad. And they watched their things. There's like a mini thing. And oh, a Groot, I Am Groot, which is funny. So whatever. So then my next turn, I watched on Disney Plus, you can watch the original Muppet Show too. So I did an episode of that. It was like, Muppet Show, we're doing that. And that actually
like
got
that?
A little more. Yeah, they got a little more fanfare out of that one. So
nice, nice. Yeah, I feel like everything now is so fast paced that like most of the older stuff won't keep kids' attention anymore. They're just like, no, I don't want that.
Can't tell you how many times my son chooses to watch other people playing Minecraft. I was like, I would rather
I don't
you
understand
just
that.
Play
Caitlin
Minecraft.
Does that. Like, let me watch a full... Like, some of them make a little bit of sense. Like, if it's a game where it's story-based, and it's like, I care about finding out what happens in the story. I don't want to play the game. Okay, watch that. But, like...
Sure.
Yeah, things where it's just, like,
world
there's no end or whatever. It's like, why? Why don't you just play it? Like, if you think it's fun to watch them, you could do that.
You can just be that. You're controlling that. Anything you want. I kind of thought at first it was like, oh, you're just learning how to do a couple of things. That's cool. Yeah. And then it was just like, you're picking that over doing the things. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, we are over an hour here. So, if anyone is still listening at this point, please let us know if you enjoyed this format, if you want us to do more of these where we don't talk any tech. If you would like us to stop doing Whatnot in general and do more tech, we could do that too, I guess.
And then we'll retire the show.
Yeah. We'll always do whiskey. So if you don't like the whiskey, we don't care. But
if I don't have some whiskey, I'm not talking into this mic.
Yeah.
That's probably not totally true, but.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. If you liked it, please subscribe, leave us some ratings and reviews, and we will catch you next time. Boop 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 bo